So thank you so much, Elizabeth, for giving me this time to talk to you, and we'll get started. So can you please share with me your preferred gender pronouns, and during what years were you accosted, Elaine?
Pronouns she, her, and I started at Castellet in 2007, the summer of 2007. And I did my bachelor's there and my master's, my teaching credential. So I probably finished my time there not too long ago, like 20, Jesus, like 2017, 18.
It was a quiet while.
Yeah, I was there for a long time. I took a break in between, but overall,
Okay.
I think I was there for
And
that long.
spent. Okay. That's a good amount of time.
Yeah.
Yes. Where were you born and raised?
So I was born in Puebla, Mexico. My mother brought me and a few other siblings over when I was 4. And so the rest of the time I've been here, raised in LA, Boyle Heights, East LA area.
Okay. Were you did you always live in around that area, the Boyle Heights area?
It wasn't until recently, about 5 years ago, that I got the chance to live in Long Beach for a while, then Alhambra, then back here to East LA.
Okay, so you're back at East LA?
I'm back in East LA.
Okay. Nice. Can you describe your current occupation?
I'm a sixth grade math science teacher.
Oh, nice. So, what was your major at Costa
I always wanted to go into teaching, so I
LA?
was part of the, ooh, I forgot what they call it, arts and letters, so liberal arts. And then when I went back for my master's, that was in math education. And then for the credential, well, they do a like a multiple subject credential, so.
Okay, so you can teach basically any grade school, whatever.
K
Okay.
through, I don't know, K through 8, I think they have it as.
Right, that's a well, so interesting. Okay. So can you share with me your educational history? Meaning, so you came here when you were 40 years old, right? Okay, so maybe start there. How was that like, right?
Oh,
Did
interesting.
was
Okay.
Yeah. So let's start there. Let's just start from the beginning.
Well, arriving here, my mom enrolled me at a LAUSD school in the neighborhood. So I started kindergarten here. I was transitioning, right, learning English.
Right.
And I think I captured it very quickly just because I was so young.
Right.
So I've been in LAUSD for throughout. Even now, I am a teacher now at LAUSD. After elementary, I attended a middle school, same system, high school at Roosevelt. And for a while, I did go to DBM, that's a magnet school in downtown LA. And then after that, I graduated from Roosevelt, though. So I had a friend who one day came up and it was our senior year and said, "Oh, let's go to college." And I didn't really know what that was. But she said it was school, so I've always liked school, so I said okay. We ended up going to Riverside. And there I came to realize, I need a social security number, I need to work, and so staying there was not sustainable. So I came back. I knew I wanted to pursue higher education, but I also knew my limitations, so I looked into ELAC. And there at ELAC, I started making plans to transfer. The closest thing that became more accessible was Cal State LA because it was, in the neighborhood, easy to get to. And back then I was working at a clothing store, so that made it easy to commute between both. Went to Cal State LA right after ELAC, and then that's where I've been.
Okay. Yes. So, always having in mind that living costs, right?
Yeah.
So, So let's say you were you did elementary school here, middle school. At what point did you learn about your undocumented status?
I think that was towards in my high school years. In my high school years, mainly as a senior, I think it was. Yeah, it was when my friends started talking about college and we started talking about filling out applications, you know, and then we saw that requirement there.
How did you feel? What were the feelings that you had at that moment when you knew that? Because you always knew you liked school and you wanted to go on to higher education, but what were the feelings that crossed your mind at that time?
You know, I wasn't fully aware of being undocumented. Like to me, it was just like I was missing. I didn't have a number, so I figure, okay, well, maybe later I get a number. You know, to me that's what it was, you know, because you're exposed to what an ID is, so I figure it's like a school ID. So it didn't amount to much to me. I think it was not until I moved out with my friend. We moved out to Riverside and we tried to go to school there. And I think it was at that moment where I saw part of the limitation, but still not surmounting to what it really became later as I became more aware. So we came back here. I came back home. She actually graduated from UCR, but I came back home and I started thinking about school. I did have a mentor because in high school there was a program called like Salud. Jóvenes por la Salud, I think it was called. And this woman had talked about college back then. And so I remember her and I reached out to her. She told me I needed a social security number to enroll at school. She might have had a connection at Cal State LA or something. And she had worked with another student who was in my situation. And so she proposed for me to meet with someone. I don't know. I guess someone she had connections with, and we talked about going to college. There was a way. I don't know what that way was. We never really explored further, because I was cautious. I wanted to make sure that I was following the rules. And so, just me not having that social security number, it didn't make me feel comfortable to go along with the application. So I stopped, and I let that opportunity go. And so then the idea of community college popped in my head. And again, I knew I didn't have the social security number. I met with an advisor there, and I remember them asking, like sending me right to the financial aid office afterward and talking to me about EOP and so forth. And the same topic came to mind, like the lack of social security number. Luckily, I eventually met with an advisor who very intentionally told me to go to the EOPN office and just do, you know, fill out the application and don't answer, like don't offer more information than it was needed. So I went there and I, you know, filled out the application
And
and
this
I,
is an ELAC.
this is at ELAC,
Okay.
and I put my student ID number under the Social Security.
Do you remember what year was this?
Yeah, it must have been my God, 2000. I'm trying to track back, retract back 2007. So 5, 4, maybe four, 2004.
Well, okay.
2004, yeah. So I go there and I fill out the application and I don't know, it just worked out that whoever there must have been some understanding or some acknowledging of the limitations that students like me were facing, and they accepted my application through EOP. And that helped a lot, right? Because they offered a bus pass and they offered a, I think it was like $200, $300 at that time to for books and tuition. And so that helped some. And then the rest of it, I worked all day on the weekends.
So the application was to enroll at the EOP program.
Yeah, for supports, yeah.
Okay, so let's backtrack a little. So during high school, you had a mentor, you mentioned, right? So was this the first, I guess, was it a part of like a school stuff? this mentor?
It wasn't necessarily about college. I think I think the program's goal was to orient kids into different careers. For some reason, I wasn't conscious of that. To me, it was like an opportunity to earn money because it's a summer program, but an opportunity to have fun with other youth. So I don't think I was thinking that far ahead in that sense. And it all goes back to what you see the greatest need in your family is, and monetary stability was one for my family. And so just the opportunity to make some money in the summer for me to have that power to do that. I think that's what I had in mind. I didn't see beyond until a lot later in life.
So, in what year did you graduate from high school?
2001.
2001. Okay. So then you say you move out to Riverside to maybe go to UCR. Okay, that didn't work. So the mentor that you had in high school, was that the first person that you disclosed your status to in the system?
Yes, I did disclose my status to her, but I didn't do it during high school. I did it after coming back from UCR, which was after graduation day.
But
It
you
was
never
like
attend the UCR.
I never attended. I went to their
Okay.
orientation, like we saw the campus.
Okay.
It was exciting, but no, it didn't make sense.
So, okay. So then something came to your head and into your mind, and then you decided to go to community college. What was that? What made you change that? Because when you're in survival mode, you feel like you need to survive, right? Like you said, whatever your family needs. So what changed?
It was in Roosevelt, but I had gone to this middle school, this high school in downtown LA, and I think it served middle class kids. So I joined their magnet program, so I was able to get a bus to pick me up from my Boyle Heights area and take me there. And I think there I started noticing social classes, and I made friends. And unfortunately, I couldn't continue there because, as I said before, my family needed money, and so I had a job. And just going back and forth was not something I could do because the school was far. Anyway, moving past that, so. When I graduated from high school, from Roosevelt, I then ran into some old friends from that school, from that middle class school. And I remember all of them talking about, oh, we're gonna go here, we're gonna go here, school-wise, university-wise. And I was like, okay, that's very, they're very enthusiastic, and it sounds so promising, to their futures. And I remember talking to one person specifically, just a bunch of friends hanging out, and I heard him speak, and he was so eloquent, and he was using these words I had never heard before, and it sparked an interest, and I said, I want to be like him, I want to be that, like I want to sound like that, and so I think that was the thing. So I came back home, and I was like, okay, I am going to work this job. And I was there at this job for many years. This was like a cashier, and
At the
I
store.
at a store. It's a clothing store, yeah,
Okay.
clothing store. I was there for many years, so whatever money I was able to get there from working like a shift from like 9 to 10 on Saturday and Sunday, and like 3 to 9 on the weekdays, all that money, that's where it went. So I think he inspired me.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
So then you started doing your own research on how to enroll in community college, or did
I
you have
just walked
any help?
in.
You
Yeah, no,
just
I just walked in. I was like, let's go see what this is about. I didn't know anyone else who was in my circumstance other than my siblings, right? So it wasn't like I could call someone and say, "Hey, let's go do this together," or "What do you know about this?"
Right. So, if you don't mind asking, how many siblings do you have?
Six.
Six,
No,
and all
four,
of them were
five with
born.
me and six.
Okay. The all of them were born in Mexico.
No, some of them were born here. Yeah.
Okay.
The younger ones, yeah.
Okay. How
And
many
going back.
do you have that you ha that were born in here?
Two.
Two. Oh, okay. So
Yeah.
four were in the same boat.
Yeah. Going back to your question, about ELAC, I think during that time, I'm going back now, now that I remember. I think another thing that pushed me forward that was encouraging for me to go see what was out there for me, it was I want to say it was AB 540. I think AB 540 had was in talks at that time. And so the year that I decided to go to school there, they had just announced that it was that we were now able to pay in-state tuition, which is why I knew that the job that I had and the help from EOPNS was going to be how I was able to make that goal come true, that dream come true. So yeah, thank you for refreshing my mind. It's been so long.
No, yes, no. I get it. I get that sometimes that it seems so far away, but then it's like it just happened yesterday. So like which one is the yeah.
Yeah.
In 2001, that's when AB 540 became a law, but then it was implemented in the following school year. So
Here.
it must have
Yeah.
been in 2002, the school year 2002, 2003. You graduated 2001, so when you went to ELAC in about 2004?
Yeah, 2004, 2003, because again, I took off to Riverside and I came back. I didn't have any money.
Right.
In fact, I might have registered in like 2003, but again, I didn't have any money. So by the time it came to like pay for classes, I had to drop, which I forgot
Okay.
to drop formally, right, through the form, and I ended up with like Fs everywhere. Yeah, I learned the hard way. I rectified
Yeah.
that mistake later. I remember that my counselor was like, "Oh, you need to fill out this form, to make sure those get taken off your record." But that's what happened to me. And yeah, and then I went back. I went back with a vengeance, and I had already saved some money, so I was able to pay. And then again, this time around, EOP kicked in, and so with those two supports in place, I kept going.
Yeah, so let's come back to when you first entered ELAC. So you went knowing pretty much nothing, right, of how
Yeah.
it was going to be. So what happened?
I went in, I sat with the advisor. In fact, not a lot of them knew about AB 540. I think I experienced that moment where I had to go in and say, "Well, I'm allowed to come because I'm here for AB 540." And then they were like, "We've
What's
heard of
that?
that. What is it?" Yeah. And I had to
Yeah,
say,
oh my
"Yeah,
God.
the state of California has now whatever." And like literally just reiterate what I had heard on the news, right? Because I hadn't no one else to bounce ideas off or any other guidance. So that's what I said. I said whatever I heard on the news, I was like there to claim it. And they were like, "Yeah, let me, we're trying to work out some kinks and to see how we're gonna process, we're new to all this," but they were helpful. And so I sat there with the advisor, and I had classes, and I might have attended the class, which is why they didn't drop me. And so I had to formally drop myself, which I never did until later. But it was good. But I didn't know anything. I showed up to class a few times and then just felt the load of work and having to go to work, and I stopped knowing that I would be back.
Oh, so that was in the back of your mind.
Oh yeah, I wanted to be like this guy,
Right, this
like this
eloquent
man.
person. Right.
Yeah.
So you are about in 2003, you register and you may You dropped because you couldn't the workload filled too much, or
Yeah.
was it because you couldn't pay for it?
I couldn't pay for it. I couldn't pay for it, and I had to go to work.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, and then tell me when you came back, you were more I guess ready, but
Yeah, I think
suited.
I centered myself. I created a plan. I knew that the classes were going to cost something and the books were going to cost more, and just having access to EOP, that really made a difference for me. Like, I knew, okay, if I can make, this much money to cover the cost of the classes, and then I can rely on EOP for the books and transportation. Because at the
Right.
beginning, I think I went in thinking, okay, I can pay the classes, but then as they started delivering the syllabus and, talking about books that you needed to buy and school materials and all of that, I think it was really overwhelming to the point where I said, okay, I need to stop right now, and I'll be back.
Right, because at this time there's not like the PDFs that you can get from somewhere, right?
I mean, with time, you become resourceful and you start learning how you can help yourself. I think those supports were maybe, like instructors putting books in the library for you to check out. Like, that's not new. I'm sure they've done this before, but I didn't know that. So, and I didn't talk about my problem. I think had I opened up and said, at least to my counselor or someone, right, an advisor, and said, this is how I feel, like, what supports are there in place for me to continue on? I maybe, but I didn't. I was very quiet. I was to myself. I didn't make
Why
much any friends.
why do you think it was that?
Well, I met one friend later when I went back to ELAC. He had a friend who he had met at LACC, and he brought her over. And this friend was undocumented, and she was a striver. Like, she knew where she was going and how she was getting it done. And he was like, I need you to meet this person. And so we go to the library once, and there she is. And I open up to her about my status, and she was just the kindest person. We're still friends, by the way. And
Nice.
she said, I know your struggle, she said, and I'm there with you, and I want to help you. I want to help you, like, navigate this system that we're getting to know. And I said, okay. And we were friends since then. So she would, like, make sure that we were both motivated to go to class. And she was only there for one summer, to take a class at ELAC, because it wasn't offered at LACC, and then I would see her periodically. But just knowing that there was one other person who I thought one other person, right, who was in
Right.
the boat, that made me feel like, okay, my goal is tangible, and I just need to stick with it.
So your friend at ELAC knew your status, your legal
Yeah,
status?
he wasn't undocumented. He was Persian and had this. I don't even know why he was in ELAC, but he was there. And I'm glad he was there, because I got to, he
Right.
was he served a purpose in my life.
Yeah. So you remember how did you disclose your legal status to someone who I guess didn't look like you, didn't speak like you?
So I was actually in line for EOPNS. I was in line for, like, either picking up, like, a voucher or some paperwork. I don't remember, but we were in line, and it was a really long line. And I needed to go to the restroom, and he was standing right in front of me. And I like tapped him on the shoulder, and I was like, hey, do you mind holding my spot? Like, I need to run. And he was like, yeah. And so when I came back, we just started talking, and we went into the office. And I remember them asking him about FAFSA. Like, part of that exchange at the counter was like, oh, did you remember to apply for financial aid? And he was like, oh yeah, here's the paperwork. And when they got to me, And we now we were side by side, and they said that to me, and I mean, I said, oh, I haven't been able to, because they had asked me to say more than not to say more, right? So not being able to could have meant like not yet, I don't have the time yet, whatever, but not that I can't.
Your
So
counselor was the one at ELEC who gave
yeah.
you this advice, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, so then I guess he might have waited around or something. He just asked me a question. I don't know. I think I was just comfortable. I said, oh, I can't. Like I can't. I don't think I went into great depth about why. I just said I can't. I'm not, I'm not there yet. Like I don't have the paperwork yet. And then he was like, oh, okay, And then we never spoke about it again. Like that was it. Like he didn't think more of it. I didn't think more of it either. But I guess when this person came into his life, he might have, because we were really close friends, like we were best friends, and I think he might have felt like, okay, maybe she needs some guidance, and the only person who might be able to offer it is this girl who seems to be in the same boat.
Were you like ashamed of telling your legal status or concerned about your safety?
No, I don't think I was. I think I was completely oblivious, like what it really meant, that people could get deported. I don't think I knew that. I think I knew I lacked something, and it was different, and things were the way they are at the moment. I wasn't really thinking ahead of time. I just, it wasn't something that I was really conceptualizing.
When were you able to see the full picture of what being undocumented really means?
When I try to open a bank account, that was a very depressing moment. I had because I was working, I saved money, and I saw my family struggle so much that I was like, that's not gonna happen to me, like I'm gonna change it. And I took money to the bank, and the bank didn't, they were like, oh, you can't open a bank account. And I was like, and that to me was like, you don't want my money. So I think it was that I was like, oh, wait a minute.
How did that make you feel at that time?
Worthless. Yeah, it was hard.
Did you had someone to I guess any support system at that time when you were experiencing these negative feelings?
No, I was all alone. Yeah, no,
You
not
didn't
yet.
share, no, not even with your
I didn't share.
siblings.
No, because some of them were too young, some of them were a lot older. Yeah. Which is weird now. I've learned the value of sharing your story, but I didn't do it then.
Do you know, or do you think, why do you think that was? And I know this might trigger some feelings that you know, the negative feelings or emotions, but and it's okay if you don't want to share, but I would love to know why do you think it was that you kept so much things to yourself?
I think it's because in my household there was a need for money. There was a lot of instability with emotions between my parents, and I think my attention was there. And so while something in me wanted to drive my attention to school or anywhere else, I think to me it was survival mode, as you said so before. Any opportunity to make money, I was like, okay, I'm on that boat, and wherever that boat takes me, it must be
You
good.
jump
Now I can give, I don't know, 100 to my mom, or like $50 to spend on
in.
whatever. I think that was always my focus. Like I was very aware that my family had these limitations, and I wanted to help. And so everything else was not, I wasn't really understanding. Yeah.
Not a priority, maybe, right?
Yeah. Something like that. Like something like I'm gonna get to it, but it's not, but I need to eat, and I need to see my family feel more stable.
Yeah, definitely. So it sounds like this were a challenge. What were some of the other challenges that you faced, or the obstacles that you faced during this time to get to community college and I guess move on?
I think was that once I was in community college and I felt the support of EOP and I had, money from my job, I think I was okay and I didn't look back at being undocumented. Like I didn't see that again. Like I didn't connect with that idea anymore until I had to transfer. Yeah. Until the very day that I was going to transfer, and I walked into the office and I was in front of the computer and I had to fill out this application. And it wouldn't let me go to the next page because I didn't have a social security number and I didn't know how to fill it out. And I think at that moment it came back to me. Like I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Something different.
And who helped with this application?
You're not gonna believe it, but this other girl. Who knew my the girl's name is Mariana, I'm gonna say it. But who knew the first girl? This other girl who knew the first girl, she was like,
Mariana.
yeah, she was like, do you need help with that? And I said, and at that moment, I think I did feel ashamed. I think at that moment, I just felt because I was frustrated, I didn't know what to do, and this was a complete stranger, and so at that moment, I said, you know what, I don't have a social security number, and it's asking me for this. Do you know what else I can put here? And then this girl just happened to be
Oh
undocumented
my God. So you two were at the office filling out the application the
Yes.
same day, the same time.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And she
Oh
was
my
the
God.
only other person in that office. And she was like, I got this.
Really?
And yeah, and I still talk to her. I mean, we recently just reconnected, and she was I just
Yay,
told her, you
great.
changed. You inspire me to be open and resourceful. And
Yes, I mean, what do you think it would have happened if she wasn't there at that time, at that moment, at the right moment when you needed to help?
I probably would have worked it out, but it was because of her that I started connecting with my future surfistas. It was
Oh
her.
my God.
She was the one who was like, here you go. You're gonna go there, you're gonna talk to this person. They're forming a group and we're gonna get through this. She was it.
Wow, okay. I think this is a good moment to stop.